great country. God bless America. Looking for early check-ins for the real Liberty Net. CQ, CQ.
KO4FE.
Mr. Bill, you're sounding great in Akron, Ohio. So the band apparently is cooperating.
Yeah, finally, I was about ready to give up hope. Yeah, you're coming in here real good. I didn't look at the meter, but you're coming in crystal clear. All right, I hope it holds on. I'll let you get back to getting some more check-ins.
I appreciate it. And yes, I'm showing you almost 40. It's about a bouncing between 35 and 40 over 9.
Yeah, Roger, I'm getting you about 30 over here.
Ah, the wonders of fire in the wire. All righty, Mr. Bill, thank you. I've got you down as number 3. So, CQ, CQ, this is Kilo Alpha 8, Julie Ocean Yankee for the real Liberty Net in the great state of Ohio. Can I have some check-ins, over?
Kilo Echo 4, Kilo November Echo.
Uniform.
Kilo Echo 4, Kilo, and I didn't write fast enough.
Okay, Bob, it's Kilo Echo 4, Kilo, November Echo, Mike here in the mountains of southeastern Kentucky, formal operations. By the way, I just got the note that you sent me a few weeks ago. It just caught up with me in the jail mail.
All righty, Michael. Well, thank you. I'd like to try to send those out and just kind of make a welcome, over.
Well, we really appreciate it. That was a nice old note. I really appreciate it. My wife read that too. Well, I didn't know they did those kind of things. Okay, Bob, let's get to make up some more folks. K4 Kenny, back to you.
All righty, Kilo Echo 4, Kilo November Echo. This is KHOI. I heard another station off in the distance. Can you come back with your call phonetically, over?
Kilowatt Charlie 2, Victor, Victor Uniform.
Kilo Charlie 2, Victor, I got a space and uniform.
Victor, Victor, uniform, over.
Mr. Bill or Mr. Jesse, did you hear the Kilo Charlie 2 to give me that middle, the suffix?
Tell them to give it to us again, and I'll see if I can listen in.
The Kilo Charlie 2, can you say it again so Mr. Jesse can hear it?
Kilowatt Charlie 2, Victor, Victor, uniform.
Kilo Charlie 2, Victor, Victor, uniform. I got it that time. Sorry that I was a little slow on the draw there. Let me see. It looks like Lewis in the state of New York.
Roger, Roger, and thank you so much for the card. Thank you so much for your card. I was really busy the last couple weeks, but I appreciate you getting me in the loop. Over.
Well, you're very welcome. It was a pleasure to have you, and it's a pleasure to have you check in again tonight. So I've got you on the list. And you are, let me see, you're number 4, so thank you very much.
And 4OQ.
Mr. Larry, it's always a pleasure to hear you also, over.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. You're sounding great tonight. I can hear most everyone, so I believe the band's good shape right now.
It does seem like the band is cooperating for once in a while. It's been kind of bad on the net down on the lower part of the band, but tonight sounded good. So thank you, Mr. Leary. This is KAHJOY for the great real Liberty Net. Looking for some additional check-ins before I kick this off. So CQ, CQ. nothing heard, so I'm going to open the door. So good evening to all. Good evening to all the participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now. And since the year of 1974, founded by the one, the only, W1WCR, Mr. Victor. Current event and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight. This is the real Liberty Net, not the Pyrite Net. I'm going to read the part about the Pledge of Allegiance. I haven't done that, I think, for a couple nets. The Pledge of Allegiance, as we know, was written August 20, 1892, by a socialist minister, Francis Bellamy. In its original form, it read, "I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." In the year of 1923, the flag of the United States of America was added. In the year of 1954, in response to the communist threat, God, I wonder what we can add right now because of all this communist threat. The threat of the times, then President and retired General Eisenhower encouraged Congress to add the words "under God," creating the 31-word pledge we say today. If Sleepy Sloppy Joe gets in, I know that they did the Pledge of Allegiance and they omitted the word God on one of the times that they were on the news, but we're not going to admit that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So with that being said, good evening to netters. I'm going to try for one more round of CQs, and then I'm going to open the door. So CQ, CQ, over.
Whiskey 2000, dear Oscar.
I almost keyed up when you said that. Go ahead again.
Whiskey 2000, dear Oscar.
Good evening, Frank. It's good to hear you. Strong signal into Ohio.
Okay, that was with my amplifier off, so I was wondering if the net was going to be on with all the activity on the van tonight with the sweepstakes. So, hey, it's good to hear you guys.
Well, I didn't know about the sweepstakes, but we're going to make every effort to keep this going religiously, just like Mr. Victor, W1WCR, intended, sir. Over.
That's good.
Yeah, you gotta
keep everything going. That's important, absolutely. So, thank you for stepping up and doing this job, sir. That's a good thing.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you for logging in tonight with us. So, I'm gonna go to the top of the list, but I think first let me minimize my screen. And I clicked on an article about good old Sleepy Sloppy Joe. And he says he was gathered, it's from the Blaze, Joe Biden gathered with his running mate, Kamala Harris, House of Representatives Speaker Nasty Pelosi, and Senate Majority Leader Chuckey on Friday. However, Biden had no patience for the reporter, who asked a timely question, and he quickly admonished the correspondent. Video shows Biden telling Pelosi and Schumer, quote, "In my Oval Office, my quesa, your quesa." Basically, in his Oval Office, his ass will be gone and they'll be in. Biden added, quote, "I hope we're going to spend a lot of time together." Well, that's kind of good for Kamala because he can sniff her neck and maybe play with her like he did Tara Reid. The press pool was then required to leave, and you could hear a Biden aide reportedly saying, quote, "Let's go, guys, let's go," unquote. CBS News reportedly calmly attempted to ask the Mr. Biden a parting question before being escorted out of the room. Quote, "Mr. Biden, the COVID task force says it's safe for students to be in the class. Are you going to encourage the unions to cooperate more?" Let me go down here to, oh, come on, dumb computers. Sometimes you just want to slap them. "Are you going to have the unions cooperate more with bringing kids back to the classroom, sir?" Erickson politely asked. Biden dismissed the question and responded, quote, "Why are you the only guy that always shouts out questions? Biden and Pelosi then cackled at the reporter. Oh, dear, dear Jesus, please help us. Please help us. With that being said, I'm going to go to Mr. Jesse, KG4, CX in the C. Jesse, good evening. Welcome to the Real Liberty Net. Over.
Hey, good evening, everyone, on the Great Liberty Net here on Saturday night's edition. This is Kilo Golf 4 Zulu X-Ray Charlie. Man, it's great to hear everybody in there. The band sounds excellent, and I better quit bragging before something happens. Well, anyway, let's backstep just 1 second, guys. And how you copy, Bob?
Strong, strong signal here in Ohio.
Okay, good deal. All right, well, thank you, sir. Hey, well, let's back up, like I said, and let's focus on one section of the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, it says that, you know, we have justice for all. Well, we do. We have justice for all, as long as it's for all the others, and it exempts us. That's what's going on anymore. I mean, our Pledge of Allegiance is supposed to be for all mankind, each and every one of us. Black, white, race, color, whatever, religion, doesn't matter. Liberty for and justice for all. That's what it stood for. Well, not the way the news media and everybody is reporting this fraudulent voting system that we have in this banana republic. I tell you what, it's enough to rack anybody's nerves. But I just want to start the net off tonight with an article coming out of Gateway Pundits, and it actually came out on the 19th, which you know, all good news comes out on a Friday afternoon when nothing else, nobody else is paying attention. So there you have it. Anyway, this article goes into huge attorney. Sidney Powell confirms alleged Dominion server in Germany were confiscated. Okay, well, I did happen to hear a little bit more about this article, but I'm going to read the one off Gateway Pundits. Last week, Republican Louis Gohmert told Chris Sexto on Newsmax people on the ground in Germany reported that Skatel, which hosted election data improperly through Spain, was raided by a large U.S. Army force, and their servers were seized in Frankfurt. The video went viral. Here is what Louis Gohmert, Republican of Texas, had to say about this alleged raid earlier today. So let me scroll down here. And from the source, the U.S. government wants... They determined that the Dominion servers was involved in switching votes. Then the intelligence community began a search for the servers and discovered that the servers was in Germany. In order to access the servers, it had been available for use in a legal manner. They had to have the State Department work in tandem with the Department of Justice. They had to request the government of Germany to cooperate in allowing the seizure of the servers. The appropriate document required to effect that this kind of seizure was put in place, signed off on, and it appears there were also U.S. military support in this operation. The U.S. military was not the lead, but did help in this capture of the servers, and they helped explain why Esper was fired, and Mark Miller, well, actually, this is Miller and Cash Patel, were put in place so that the military would not interfere with any operations in any way. So President Trump, it looks like he does have a little bit of control of our military, which thank God for that. The article goes to continue by getting a hold of the servers, and we're now going to have a direct evidence of when they were instructed to stop counting. They will also discover who gave the directions to stop the counting and the initiation of the algorithm that started switching votes. the CIA was completely excluded from this operation. During the press conference on Thursday, Attorney Sidney Powell weighed in on the Dominion Smartmatic servers that were reportedly confiscated in Germany. So there you have it, guys. They got the evidence. It's just a matter of will the courts, will the legal system do its just duty and take it up, or will they dismiss it like the Supreme Court judge in Pennsylvania just threw out the Trump lawsuit this today, matter of fact. But this is kind of activity that's been going on for way too long, and maybe God is looking out for us, ladies and gentlemen, and I really hope he is, because I pray every day and night that something good comes from all this. But that's a good portion of the news, and I hope they got more evidence that's coming in the future, especially from the state of Georgia. Oh, and by the way, all the Trump rallies are as good as everybody says they are. Even the protest rally down in Atlanta this week. I took off Wednesday, and we seen the rally, the protest rally, and it was awesome. So if you ever get out and you want to, you know, be part of something bigger, just go to one of those. With that being said, thanks, Mr. Bob, for everything, and this is the Saturday Night Liberty Net. I'm KG4ZXNC. Back to you, Bob.
All righty, Mr. Jesse. Thank you. KG4ZXNC, KHLY. Well, I'm going to jump over there to Mr. Moe just to make sure he's awake. KD0RSA, just making sure you're still with us, KHLY.
Well, thank you, J-O-I. I'm still awake, and I'm like, sitting here being all ears. Anyway, I do appreciate Jesse saying what he did and going to that rally. That would be awesome, but we're too many miles out here to make it, and I don't care to fly in an airplane. Anyway, I got my own, but it's too little to go that far. KG0RSA, I'll be sitting here listening. Back to that, over.
All righty, Mr. Moe, it's good to hear your voice in there, and yeah, that would be a heck of a drive for you. So KD0RSA, KHLY. I'm going to jump over to Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KHLY. Good evening, William.
Okay, KHLY, Liberty Net. This is KO4FE. Okay, Bob, conditions are good. Everyone's coming in. Even the weak stations, I'm copying them better than normal. Well, you know, the left wing, the white-hating communists, BLM, you know, they're on a campaign to remove all monuments, statues, anything with a white person involved, and always saying, well, that person was racist, this person used the N-word, this person was in the Confederacy, or they always got a slave owner, they always got an excuse. Well, what do they do when they got a guy, a monument that they can't claim that the person who the monument is to had ever owned slaves or done anything? Well, here's what happens. University of Wisconsin declares Large Rock to be racist, votes to remove. The University of Wisconsin-Madison plans to remove a large rock from campus after students complained that it is a symbol of racism because it was referred to in a local newspaper in 1925 using a word regarded as a racial slur. The Wisconsin State Journal reported Wednesday, University of Wisconsin-Madison is moving forward on a plan to remove a boulder from Observatory Hill after calls from students of color who see the rock as a painful reminder of the history of racism on campus. The 70-ton boulder is officially known as Chamberlain Rock in honor of Thomas Crowder Chamberlain, a geologist and former university president. But the rock was referred to at least once after it was dug out of the hill as a nigger head, a commonly used expression in the 1920s to describe any large, dark rock. The Wisconsin Black Student Union called for the rock's removal over the summer. President Nilal McWhorter said the rock is a symbol of the daily injustices that students of color face on a predominantly white campus. A predominantly white campus that's basically a communist war camp, all far-left radicals. I'm sure that he's facing daily injustices at the hands of all these leftists. It's just unbelievable. It's like a talking point that they got to put in everything. According to the State Journal, the 1925 news article is the only known instance of the offensive term being used. The university's campus planning committee voted unanimously to remove the rock, though it does not have another place to put it. Removal will also be complicated by the fact that the rock's current site is near a Native American effigy mound. Former Secretary of Energy Rick Perry, who was then the governor of Texas, was criticized in 2011 when the Washington Post reported that the slur was once painted on a large rock on his family's ranch. Perry said his family painted over the slur when they leased the land and that they had never used the slur. Oh, geez. So anyway, they're getting rid of another memorial to a white person of note. Wonder how much they had to research to find out that it was referred to by that term almost 100 years ago. Here's another one. This is what you get by trying to accommodate these leftists. LGBT activist compares Christians who don't accept homosexuality to rapists and Holocaust deniers. LGBT activist Jane Ozan has compared biblical Christians to rapists and Holocaust deniers for failing to preach the morality of homosexual sex. But why would they do that? It's condemned in the Bible. In a recent article for Pink News, Ozan, director of the UK-based Ozan Foundation, and listen to this, General Synod member. Why would a woman like this want to have anything to do with the Episcopal Church's General Synod? But anyway, she blasted the Church of England for upholding Christian teachings on marriage and sexuality in its recent publication of a set of resources titled Love and Faith, Living in Love and Faith. Supposedly a British evangelical Anglican, Ozan works with religious organizations around the world in an effort to persuade them to update their moral teachings to accommodate LGBT sexual lifestyles. Yeah, they got to update. See, we, people like Ozan, they're morally superior to all the saints, all the apostles, even Jesus Christ, the Old Testament figures. She's morally superior to them because they didn't know the wonders and the godliness of what? Well, I don't want to get into their sexual practices, but the sexual practices of the LGBT folks. So, you know, in her mind, she has the final word on what the church is going to teach. Anyway, unlike the soldiers who crucified Jesus, church leaders know they are wounding and hurting LGBT people by propagating biblical sexual morality. Why is she even a member of the Church of England? I mean, it's as watered down, as liberal as about as you could get. And that's not enough for her. Anyway, Ozan writes, and thus Jesus, the Jesus prayer, Father, that's not the Jesus prayer. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, does not apply to them. Personally, I believe this is completely different, she said. Indeed, I think it's immoral, inexcusable, and cowardly. Yeah, it's immoral to believe the plain teachings of the Bible, according to this woman. The Anglican Church's invitation to LGBT people, there's their first mistake. They should have never gave an invitation. Why don't they give an invitation to the Satanists? Make about as much sense, but anyway, they gave an invitation to LGBT people. The dialogue with church leaders is also unacceptable. That's not enough for her. How would one invite a survivor of the Holocaust to sit down and listen to the rantings of a Holocaust denier, she said. Well, that's actually an example. Why would the Anglican Church want to listen to the rantings of an LGBT fanatic? Would one ask a rape victim to sit down with a rapist and understand why they want to rape people? It's not only ridiculous, it's downright dangerous. Yeah, she's right about that, but I don't think it's the way she means it. It's insane for the church to sit down and listen to her. It's in her words, ridiculous. Ozan takes particular issue with the idea that Christians with same-sex attraction should be encouraged to live celibate lives rather than engaging in homosexual relations. She says now there's a wide body of evidence that shows just how harmful those teachings are to people, particularly young LGBT plus. I don't know what that means. People growing up in conservative communities of faith. Well, don't go to church. That's a simple solution. If you don't like the church's teaching, don't belong to it. Ozan suggests that Christians who do not celebrate, you've got to celebrate gay sex. She says those who do not celebrate gay sex should be prosecuted for hate speech. And notions of religious liberty should not allow churches to teach that sodomy is sinful. Yeah, these people have no idea the absolute insanity of their comments. So the church, Christians, whose Bible in 2,000 years, well, actually more than that, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, millennia of teachings against homosexuality, they should forget that, but instead they should celebrate gay sex. This woman's nuts. There is clear evidence that certain actions are wounding people, particularly young people, at the start of their lives, and therefore they must be robustly challenged and stopped, if necessary, by enshrining things in law. Yeah, this is what you got coming. It is, according to her, it says it's the moral duty of a civilized society to safeguard the vulnerable, not appease the perpetrators. Who are the perpetrators? The people that just want to accept Christian teachings and go to church, practice their religion? Nobody's bothering her, except that she has injected herself into a church that doesn't agree with, so why should she be a part of it? along with preaching against homosexual activity, other offensive practices, including conversion therapy, Ozan Rites, which attempts to help people overcome same-sex attraction. People who undergo such therapy, Ozan says, often do not do so because they have been taught that changing gender or engaging in homosexual sex is sinful. Well, of course, that's what the Bible teaches. Most LGBT people are aware that religious teachings can be very bad news for who they are, who they want to love, and how they are accepted amongst certain religious communities, she writes. Well, don't be members of those communities. You notice they never condemn the Muslims for being against homosexual activity. Not one of these cowards will go to join a Muslim mosque and start preaching against the Quran or against Mohammed, or telling the Muslims they got to change their they got to change their teachings or else risk being banned by the government. You never hear these cowards do that. They just always attack these weak-kneed liberal churches. They don't go after the conservative or traditional churches because they know they'll just tell them to get lost. So anyway, Bob, back to you, KAHJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KHOY. Well, if they went to a Muslim mosque and said, hey, I'm a gay person, they'd stone them or execute them. So they know the cost that they would have to pay. So, yeah, they're not going to do that. All righty, Bill, thank you. I'm going to run over to KE4KNE. Good evening. This is KAJOY.
KB2 Delta, Mike Delta.
All righty, Mr. Ritchie. I caught you just at the end. Thank you, and I'll put you on the list, sir.
Thanks, Bob.
KE4KNE, you're up to the plate.
Okay, Bob, this is Kilo Echo 4, Kilo November Echo, Mike here in the mountains of Southeastern Kentucky, Purple QRP. Anyway, I always enjoyed the person that was just before me, and I think it was Phil, I think, his comments and stuff. I mean, he always had some really, really good information. But I'll tell you something that kind of happened to me when I was in the Air Force. And I had got called to Washington, D.C., and had to kind of like testify before a bunch of yahoos. And I met a TWA airline stewardess. And it's really somebody that just kind of clicked with me. I really thought a lot of her. We got one of the daggone arguments over politics. And we were going on and on. She says, what time do you get off work? I told her, and she came and picked me up, and she took me down to this watering hole that all the politicians went to. I mean, this was one plush bar, and these guys were all sitting around, wiping each other on the back, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and she said, you see what I mean? Right about that time, these lobbyists are putting these young girls on some of these politicians. I thought, boy, that just turned my stomach, so to speak, what was really going on. But guys, just think of it this way. We're all Americans. I mean, we need to change a lot of things around, especially time limits. I can't see, you know, these corporations and stuff, you know, giving all this money to these people. And for what? You know, they expect something. Anyway, that's all I got, Bob. I appreciate you taking this up, and I appreciate what you do. 314, Portable QRP, back to you.
Well, you are doing such a great job, and you're running hardly any watts, but you're making a great trip. You're 20 over 9 here in Akron, Ohio, so KE4KNE, thank you, and welcome to be with us again with your QRP. Next on my list is a little light to me, but hopefully the band improves. KC2VVU. Mr. Lewis, you're up to the plate. Over.
Roger, roger, Bob. Bob, how's my copy? Over.
Well, the signal's doing better. I've got you 10 over 9, and my noise floor is a 7.
Roger, roger. On a stock exchange, they must incorporate her in Delaware. And on the bottom is the watchful eye. You can guarantee his relationship between corporations and his office is so cozy that it'll be hard to differentiate between what is government and what is corporate policy. And I'm telling you, we're going to be in for a wild ride, Bob. But hopefully the good Lord will guide this country over the last 30 or 40 years and will continue to guide it.
KC2, VBU,
back to you, Bob. Over.
Alrighty, Sleepy Sloppy Joe does scare me. I don't think he'll be in office for a year. Other people are saying not even if he does make the cut, becomes our president-elect. I've heard people say he won't make it till Easter, so we'll have to see how that plays out. Thank you for your comments, and your signal is doing okay. Up, or I should say down, to Mr. Larry in the great state of Tennessee. N4ROQKAAJOY. Good evening, Mr. Larry.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bob. All right, I've just got some news here. I'll put out some news here. This is kind of from the USA Today. It says Mexico tops 100,000 deaths from virus. Mexico City. Mexico passed the 100,000 mark in confirmed COVID-19 deaths, becoming only the fourth country to do so amid concerns about the lingering physical and psychological scars on survivors. Jose Zegarra, Mexico's director of epidemiology, announced late Thursday that Mexico has 100,104 confirmed COVID-19 deaths, behind only the United States, Brazil, and India. Mexico's number indicates only test confirmed deaths. The true total is far higher. In late October, a government study of excess mortality found that a total of about 140,000 deaths this year were probably attributable to the new coronavirus, a number that has only grown since then. The milestone came less than a week after Mexico topped 1 million registered coronavirus infections, though officials agree that the number is probably higher because of low levels of testing. Coverage of the back-to-back milestones have raised the hackles of President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who suggested Friday that a criticism of the country's pandemic policies are political attacks and compared critics to vultures. His administration has cast doubt on the usefulness of face masks. The president almost never wears one and has defended his low rate of testing. Mexico's point man on the pandemic, Assistant Health Secretary Hugo López-Gatell, bristled Thursday when asked about Mexico reaching 100,000 deaths, criticizing the media for being alarmist. So it sounds like they're keeping the economy open there in Mexico, although it didn't say they were. But the, which I agree with, you got to keep everything open. And a lot of people are probably going to die from other complications that may occur during this. And, you know, you can also die even from the flu if you're in bad shape. Your health is in a state that you may have other problems also. So it could have been the flu in a lot of these. Okay, let's move on from there. They're even saying here,
in the USA Today, holiday travel is too risky. CDC says the Center for Disease Control Prevention is recommending against travel for Thanksgiving. During a press briefing Thursday, Dr. Henry Walke, the CDC's COVID-19 incident manager, said the agency is recommended against travel during the Thanksgiving period. The tragedy that could happen is that one of your family members is coming to your family gathering. You could end up severely ill, hospitalized. We don't want that to happen, and he said, as COVID-19 cases tick up across the country. But we understand that people want to see their family and relatives. Walke added that Americans who do travel for the holidays should do so as safely as possible. And, you know, they're recommended 6 feet apart and washing your hands good. Okay, let's see what else. If you plan a gathering, it says if you keep it outdoors, you're gonna be cold, most likely, unless it's a good day. But it says the virus is not as effective, you know, outside in the air. Okay, well, let's move on from there. Let's see. Find another good article here. Berlin police, this is in Germany, forcefully disperse protest of coronavirus restrictions. So they were probably really sought down on the restrictions here in Germany, and they're protesting against these restrictions that the Germans have put on. So German police used water cannons and pepper spray Wednesday to disperse people protesting coronavirus restrictions in Berlin's government district. After crowds ignored calls to wear masks and keep their distance from one another in line with pandemic regulations. As water from the cannons rained down on the protesters outside the landmark Brandenburg Gate, police in riot gear moved through the crowd, carrying away some participants. More than 100 people were arrested, Berlin police spokesman Theo Cabalas said. So we got people protesting over there, like we've had people protesting over here about the restrictions and the businesses being closed and everything. That's the reason Trump wants to keep everything open. The cure is worse than worse than the virus, so it's best to keep everything going and keep the jobs, people being able to pay for their whatever they need to, their lodging and they're out of a job, then that's going to be worse. Everyone's out of a job and attacking everyone else to get money, that's going to be worse a situation than having this virus. Okay, we'll go ahead and pass it back to you, Bob. And thanks for running the net tonight. Sounding good. KAHJOY from N4ROK, Larry in Tennessee.
Thank you, Mr. Larry, in the great state of Tennessee. Appreciate your comments. N4ROQ, KAHJOY. I'm going to go over to Mr. Frank, Whiskey 2, Gulf, India, Ocean. Good evening. Welcome. It's your turn. Whiskey 2, GIO. I'm ringing your coax. Are you there?
Yeah. Whiskey 2, GIO. I had been sidetracked here for a moment. Somebody sent me a juicy political video, and it has to do with, Joe Biden and making a phone call to somebody in Ukraine to get President Trump in trouble, or somebody else in his administration. Anyhow, this happened to, I just started listening to this, so I was trying to multitask. Let's see. do I have anything really interesting? I'm just, right now I'm just kind of hanging out here, and you know, I think that one thing that I'm going to, I have a little experiment I'm going to do, and I do a bit of trading in the stock market, and I try to help some people get involved. I've done very well in the last year, by the way, so like doubled my money, so that was a good thing. But at any rate, I know this young lady that I think, I'm pretty sure she's a one of the LGBT crowd, and I talked to her about stocks, and I know her through some of her family members that are all straight people, and I'm going to do some experimenting. I'm going to meet up with her and see what the deal is. I think she also is a minister too, because I saw something about her having officiated at a wedding. So this will be a real exciting thing, and I don't have any problem dealing or encountering people with views that they're I'm not going to try to change her at this point, but I'm very interested in an encounter, because it's just that opportunity. And of course I'm involved in healing ministry too, so I expect that you know, I can allow God to do some work through me to help this young lady get her feet on the ground straight. So anyhow, other than that, you know, I'm deputized to do this kind of stuff, and I am going to do it. So there you go. I'll report at a later date. Bob, back to you, WTGIO.
All righty, sir. Well, congratulations on double your money. That's always a good thing. So, W2DIOKHOI. And, Mr. Ritchie, I'm glad you slid in there. The podium is yours. KB2DMDKHOI.
Okay, Bob. KHOI. This is KB2DMD. Let me just, see what I'm doing here. All right, good. There's no last caller. I didn't get his call, Bob. Boy, there's so much RF on your audio. You could almost send CW by voice. You might want to check what's going on over there. Perhaps a misrouted ground or something like that. Anyway, I just came in at the tail end of Bill's transmission. That was really good, Bill. Imagine, celebrate fag sex, celebrate this. They want us to celebrate evil, Bob. This is what it is. And you're absolutely right, Bill. It's going to be hate speech. You know, you wear a crucifix around your neck, it's going to be hate speech. You're going to have to take it off. A cop will tell you to take it off. Whether he wants to or not, he's going to be told that can't stand. So basically what they want you to do is celebrate evil, these people. And, you know, they're by no means in the majority, Bob, but they might as well be if the Christian majority of this country rolls over and dies for them. If we don't speak up, these people win. Same thing with the election. Yeah, election in quotes. It's a sham. And it's always a sham with them, just like their sham control virus. Boy, wait till the flu season starts. Holy mackerel. Wait till people really start getting sick. And so this business where it's like a head cold. And you have to shut down. So we had the Spanish flu in 1918, Bob. It killed zillions worldwide. Nobody shut down. I remember a few years back, right on this net, Steve used to give me a lot of guff for being so concerned about Ebola. Well, let's face it, Ebola is something to really get concerned about. And it turns out he was right. It was a bunch of crap. But I didn't know. I was, you know, like everybody else. I was listening to the news. They said, here comes Ebola. I said, holy mackerel, Ebola. We better start screening people. We better start, you know, shutting people down from coming into the border. But even then, I didn't advocate shutting down and masking up. It wouldn't have done any good. But, man, oh man, faced with a real crisis. I don't know what we'd do. You know, this whole thing is just to control people, and people love it. You should see them with their masks around here. They're nuts. I can't believe it, man. You tell them to hop on one leg and sing Old MacDonald. They would do it because the governor said so. This is a law. The last time I looked, you had to have a House bill with a number. You had to have a Senate bill with a number. The House and the Senate got together. They hashed it out. Eventually, a bill went to the governor's desk for a signature. None of that's happened with this mask crap. It's not a law. People tell me now, where's your mask? I say, I used to say, I have a medical condition. I don't need one. You know what I tell them now? I don't have one. Call a cop. I'll wait here. Unbelievable. And that fellow that talked about the going out of the bar in D.C. and seeing the Dems and Republicans cozying up and slapping each other on the back, boy, that's very telling, isn't it? They'll stand there and they'll tell you whatever they want. It's all a lie. It's all smoke. Remember Lindsey Graham? I always like that. Lindsey Graham, because he's gay as a $3 bill, that guy. Cousin Al used to call him Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham during the 2016 campaign, I mean, was vehement. The stuff that he had to say about Donald Trump was just flat out evil. And you could see it in his eyes. Oh, now, of course, for the sake of the team, that's all changed. But it hasn't really. He's still a real enemy of the president. It's sick. These people, they stand for nothing, Bob. Honor and decency and a look you in the eye and a handshake, as most people on this net know it, it's completely foreign to these people. They're just given over to evil. You look at somebody like Biden, why do you think he's messed up in the head after a whole lifetime of nothing but evil and deceit and treachery? Look at Hillary. They've never done anything decent in their life. It's just been an entire lifetime of deceit and underhandedness and high-handedness. There's just no honor in these people. There's no righteousness in them. It's no wonder. I don't know. Just wanted to rant and ramble. I really don't have anything, Bob. But nice to hear everybody. The band's in great shape. And big signal. Oh, nice to hear you too, Lou. I almost forgot. KC2VBU. It's been so long. And good signal here. So over to you, Bob. KAHJOY and Liberty Net. This is KB2DMD.
All righty, Richie, KB2DMD, KHOY. Yeah, you mentioned something about a handshake. I went and bought a used truck today because my Honda Pilot has 180,000 and I wanted to get rid of it. And normally when you go to a dealership, they give you the paper, put your initials here, and I'll go see if my boss approves it. And I negotiated with the salesperson, and finally they came to an agreement, and she said, well, okay, you're going to take it? I said, I'll take it. No sign here, no initial here. She did a fist bump and said, it's yours. Let's go finish. And I was like, wow, that's the way things used to be. You didn't have to, put my initials down and give them a $100 check for them to go talk to the manager. It was kind of refreshing, so I did enjoy that. Before I go to the top of the list, I'm going to check for any additional check-ins. This is the real Liberty Net. This is KHOI CQ.
WW38 AM.
WW3, I think you said HGM.
Hotel Alpha Mike.
Alrighty, WW3 Ham. Did you ask for that or were you given that?
That was one of about 20 I sent in. This is the one they gave me.
Well, that is definitely cool. You don't see that one very often, so
Well, Mr. William, in the great state of Pennsylvania, we're at the bottom of the list. You've checked in. I'm going to give you the podium. Over.
Okay. I don't know why I'm so nervous. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read this. Almost word for word from the way I wrote it for my wife and for my friend. Anyway, I'm getting texts and phone calls from people who are really worked up about recent events. Even Patty is getting them. So she asked me to type something up she can send to some of her friends so she can explain. And don't be upset if this is a long one. First and foremost, everyone needs to understand none of this is a surprise to the White House. And rest assured, the administration has a plan. The plan is to let the left, the media, the swamp, the deep state-controlled courts move forward with their plan while letting the world see the corruption for themselves. Being told is one thing, but seeing is believing. Biden didn't misspeak when he said they have put together the most extensive and inclusive fraud organization in the history of American politics. He looked down at his notes, and he said exactly what he was supposed to say, and none of it was taken out of context. He was assuring the deep state and the media they have a plan, but the plan wasn't working. They're not in control. They didn't expect Trump to be winning by such a large margin that even their fraudulent influence couldn't make up for it. What happened? The Democrats' swing state stopped counting, and just before 4 a.m., just the right amount of ballots began showing up in just the right precinct. Again, Trump and his people are in total control of everything. The media is not in control. Ask yourself this question. What is the most talked about topic on social media? Or even conversations between friends and family? It's the election. It's the fact that the left is trying to steal it. Now ask yourself, what side of the conversation are most people on? Who is really the majority? Now again, ask yourself, who really is in control? Trump attacking them on Twitter, and what is Twitter doing? They're literally putting labels on his tweets. That's called panic. And although Trump is appearing to push back, it's only for optics. The reality is, he and his allies are letting them get away with it so the people can see it with their own eyes. 100% Biden votes in many places with the 4 a.m. drop ballots, and over 90% in others. That's not just unlikely, that's impossible. But it happened. What also happened is the people saw it, and the people are talking. Election-related lawsuits will soon be making their way to the Supreme Court, and trust that Trump and Trump's campaign has all the proof and eyewitness affidavits they need to prove their point and open the eyes of anyone who may still be asleep. They aren't about to show their hand until the time is just right, and that's when he will play the Trump card. Frustration is normal. Don't think for a minute that I'm not frustrated, but I know, we all knew this was going to happen. The left told us it would happen. I also know there's a plan, and I'm trusting that plan. And you know what? You should too. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It's going to get much worse before it gets better. But I promise it will get better. Once more, this is not a fight between ours and these. This is a fight between good and evil, and God is on the side of good. I want to thank you all for listening, and do yourself a favor, have faith, and trust the plan, and for God's sake, stop watching the news. That's all I have. Back to KAHJOY.
William, that was very good. Thank you for reading that. Whiskey 3, Hotel, Amateur, Mike, appreciate your comments. With that, I'm going to go back up to the top of the list to Mr. Jesse. I didn't prepare much tonight because I was out playing around buying a vehicle, so I'm going to throw it in Mr. Jesse's lap. Kilo Golf 4, Zulu, X-Ray,
and a C. This is Kilo Alpha 8, Julia Ocean, and a Y.
Okay, very good, Bob, and how's my signal holding up?
You're 25 over.
Okay, good deal. I just want to make sure everything was still functioning properly. Yeah, getting a little bit of some kind of noise that's been coming in across everybody, but not too bad. Still readable, so good deal. Hey, thanks, Bob. K8JOY, Net Control here for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. And thank you, Bob, for running the net. And it's good to hear everybody in there tonight. Mr. Larry, always a pleasure. DMD, Mr. Rich, always good to hear you, sir. And Mr. Frank out of Fishkill, good to hear you. Mr. Mo, good to hear you, sir. And Mr. Bill, KO4FE, good to hear you as well. And the other individuals out there as well, KC2, Victor Uniform. Hey, it's a great Saturday night. We're all here. We're on the same page. We see what's going on around us. And, you know, the young man right before us, Mr. William there, he made it quite clear. People need to stay away from that TV and don't buy into any of their garbage. Have you seen Tucker Carlson's last couple rants that he went on, putting down the president with the lack of information? He says, oh, you have no proof on voter fraud. Well, you know what? We don't need proof. We see it with our own eyes. We're not blind people. We're Americans. We're citizens of this great country. And that's what we need to remember. We don't need proof. We see it. We've seen it. We see how it operates. We know how the system works, and that's what it's all about. This is another valid reason why we don't have to have proof, because we can sit here and look at certain news outlets and get the right news and not the garbage that's being reported. And this is off of Gateway Pundits here on the Saturday Night Liberty Net, guys. Watch Rebel News Reporter. Rebel News, yeah, that's a news outlet too. It's a Canadian news outlet, be honest. Rebel News Reporter escorted from Dominion Building after discovering that they share office floor with, guess who? George Soros' linked group. Yeah, George Soros. He's got a occupied space in the same building where the Dominion voting machines were. Anyway, Rebel News journalist Keen Bick was escorted from the Dominion voting office in Toronto, Canada, after uncovering that they share a building with George Soros' linked group, Dominion Voting, who supplies voting machines to multiple swing states. How convenient, swing states. Every swing state seems to have these voting machines. Well, anyway, and it has been under fire since it was revealed that their machines created a 6,000 vote swing in a single Michigan state county. Well, 6,000 this county, 6,000 that county. It doesn't take long to do the math and figure out that they cheated. This is what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, the visit to the Dominion Voting Building located at 215 Spadina Avenue in Toronto, in an effort to get some answers, he discovered that the vote tabulation company shares an office with an organization called Tides, which recently changed its name to Makeway. Beck wrote in the organized IFO, an extreme leftist eco-radical charity that directs cash supplied by George Soros to smaller groups in the organization to advance the globalist agenda of Soros. So, you know, the proof is out here, and everybody sees it. We know what it's about. So, you know, don't fall into this trap and think this election is over, because by far is it over, because when the American people start to voice their opinion in different ways, we're going to be heard. Anyway, the story continues real quick with the close proximity of the organization left
text with many questions, including whether or not radical employees of the George Soros was able to access the same desk filing cabinet, server, and Wi-Fi of Dominion. Voting in the... If any extra security protocols taken to ensure no voting data of proprietary information is protected. When he attempted to get those answers, he got escorted from the building. So there's the story, ladies and gentlemen. You can read yourself on Gateway Pundits if you like, and it's a great story. It goes into further detail. Don't be scared to look up your information. With that being said, this is KG4ZXNSC. Back to Mr. Bob and the Saturday Night Liberty Net. So take it away, Mr. Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Jesse. KG4ZXNSC, KJOI. Appreciate your comments. I'm going to jump over there to the Great West, KD0RSA, and see if Mr. Mo has a comment or just wants to say he's still listening. Over.
KD0RSA, well, I'm still listening, and I appreciate it. It's obvious that anybody can see that vote was a fraud, I'm sure, but I, being a Republican at my age, I don't know what I can do about it. Anyway, it's great to be on the net. I do appreciate you young fellas looking all that stuff up. Because I can't. And anyway, I do need to ask Larry a question, if I could. Over.
Go right ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
Larry down there in Tennessee, is Lynn Air close to you? Over.
I'm not understanding your... Lynn Air, is that
a,
I'm not sure what that is.
Well, it's the name of a town down there in Tennessee. They got a factory that makes gun barrels. Is that close to you? Over.
You can spell that for me. I don't think it is. Spell it, make sure I'm understanding you.
All right, well, back to you, Bob. He can't understand me. Over.
Go ahead and say the name of the city again. I heard you say it, and I didn't quite figure it out. They make gun barrels. Go ahead.
Lynn Air.
All righty, let me see what Larry says. Larry, it's Lynn Air, and they manufacture gun barrels.
Okay, I hadn't heard of it. I'll Google it,
Mo,
and see if it's anywhere around. But I'm not sure. I don't think so, but I'll Google it, okay?
Well, that's what I heard. Well, that ain't what I heard. I read it in the Rifle Magazine, Rifleman Magazine, NRA Magazine. Lynn Air has a barrel factory. In Tennessee, KD0RSA. I'll turn it back to you, Bob. Over.
Alrighty. Larry, he said he saw it in the Rifleman Magazine, which is the National Rifle Association. So Larry's going to take a look, and we will go to Mr. Bill. I do have to answer those. An unidentified station made a comment, and yes, I have a college education, and I'm sure most of these other people are educated. But you're welcome to check in if you'd like to make a comment. Nothing heard. Mr. William, KO4FD, the floor is yours, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE. All right, Bob. Well, you know, we thought the Antifa riots would take a break after Trump, after it's come out that everybody's saying Biden won. Do you think they'd be giving it up? Going home and smoking pot or doing whatever they normally do. But that's not the case. We got a headline here, 100-plus Antifa riots, rioters vandalized Portland buildings, no arrests. I guess either the police were ordered to stand down or else they just gave up. They don't care. But anyway, it says reports from Portland, Oregon indicate that police made no arrests of Antifa rioters who vandalized businesses on Friday night. This evening, Friday, a group gathered outside the Mexican consulate in downtown Portland. The Portland Police Bureau tweeted, I guess now they're protesting the Mexicans. The group was described as dressed in all black and wearing helmets. The group engaged in criminal behavior, which includes spray painting and vandalizing the property. Wonder what they're mad about, or mad at the Mexicans about. Portland journalist Andy No reported the Antifa group publicized the planned marks and vandalism via a digital flyer on social media. They secretly spread the word about a second, quote, private, unquote, march to take place while police were distracted with a downtown event, he reported. Portland police acknowledged that a separate group of nearly 50 people gathered at Northeast Halsey Street and Northeast 52nd Avenue before moving to Northeast 43rd Avenue and Northeast Sandy Boulevard. As the group headed southwest on Northeast Sandy Boulevard towards 40th Avenue, they vandalized many businesses, including many small businesses in their path. An official police statement reports no arrests were made. Andy No reported the group attacked the liberal icon Whole Foods on the city's northeast side during a day of rage in support of trans people. They also attacked multiple financial institutions, including Bank of America, Chase, and One Main Financial. In addition to local and national businesses, the rioters also turned their attention to the Consulate of Mexico in Portland. Independent media PDX tweeted. So anyway, the Antifa's going after the Mexicans, after the liberal Whole Foods store. They even went after State Farm Insurance and the Miller Paint Company. Also went after Rose City Realtors and Wells Fargo. I don't know what, I guess they're mad that Trump supposedly lost, and they just can't, they have to riot no matter what. I don't know what's wrong with them. Maybe, obviously they don't have anything better to do. So anyway, here's another one. This has to do with crime statistics. FBI, minorities more likely to commit hate crimes than white people. Every time the FBI gets around to releasing the hate crime data for the previous year, the numbers reveal a wide gap between the media narrative and the reality on the ground. And 2019... data is no different. After sifting through thousands of hate crimes from across the country committed by thousands of criminals, the final breakdown is that of 6,400 known offenders, only 52% of the perpetrators were white and around 24% were black. The FBI measures Latinos as an ethnicity, not a race, so that the white racial category of offenders also includes Latinos. Asians don't even break the 1% barrier. America's demographic distribution comes out to about 60% white, 12% black, 18% Hispanic, and 5% Asian, leaving us with the inescapable reality that Asians are not doing their part because of the conflagration of white people and Latinos, a natural one, of course, since there's no reason except for politics to classify the descendants of European colonists from south of the border as a separate race. The breakdowns are tricky, but the statistics make it obvious that white people are not committing hate crimes at their demographic representation in America, while the Democrats and their cultural establishment, academia, the media, and the entertainment industry equate hate crimes with white people, that's clearly not the case. The FBI statistics point to the reality that black people are committing hate crimes at twice their demographic representation. Even when accounting for age, the under 16 population may only be 49% white, but it's still only 13.7% black, with most of the growth being among Latinos. Black people, however, are also much more likely to be victims of hate crimes, with over 2,000 victims, so that while black people were the perpetrators of 24% of hate crimes, they were also the victims of 27% of hate crimes. This accords with an overall reality about crime in which black people are more likely to be both perpetrators and victims. The increased police presence in black areas is not, as white leftists and their black nationalist allies insist, an outside oppressive presence, but a response to the needs of the community. Statistically speaking, black people are more likely to need police services. Polls of the black community in the wake of the police defunding movement backed that up, leading to its collapse. There were, however, more hate crimes targeting white people. Here the FBI combines race and ethnicity than Latinos, with 775 white victims of hate crimes and only 693 Latino victims. Latinos are still statistically more likely than white people to be victims of a hate crime, but when it comes to sheer numbers, there are more white victims. It should also be noted that law enforcement is usually more reluctant to address hate crimes against white people, requiring a higher standard of proof, so these numbers are underreported. In another set of statistics that contradicts the dominant media narrative, 60% of anti-religious hate crimes targeted Jews, while only 13% targeted Muslims. The media tends to dwell heavily on any incidents, no matter how slight, that involve Muslims, creating the impression in many polls that they face a constant torrent of persecution. But even though the size of the Jewish and Muslim populations in America are fairly similar, with the Muslim population growing quickly, while the Jewish population is declining, the vast majority of anti-religious hate crimes were aimed at Jews. An equally important statistic that few note, there were as many hate crimes against Christians as there were against Muslims. When the numbers of anti-Catholic, anti-Protestant, and attacks on other Christian denominations are tallied, they come out to about 13%. Yet the media will never even report the existence of anti-Christian bias attacks. In 2019, 8.7% of the victims of hate crimes were white, 27% were black, 7.8% were Latino, 11.7% were Jewish, 2.5% were Christian, and another 2% were disabled. But not all hate crimes are created equal. The 2019 tally included only 51 murders, over 3,000 assaults, and over 2,300 vandalism incidents, and over 2,200 intimidation cases. Bias intimidation is often a catch-all term for some sort of non-criminal harassment. The actual numbers of hate crimes is serious, but is padded out with a large number of non-serious and non-criminal acts. This is also where the statistical breakdowns become more troubling. Of the racial motivated murders, 40 were committed by white people and 5 by black people. Of the bias rapes, 12 were committed by white people and 13 were committed by black people. Among bias aggravated assaults, 631 were committed by white people and 295 by blacks. And among simple bias assaults, 1,000 23 were committed by white people and 505 by black people. Among the most serious categories of crimes, those which involve physical harm, apart from murders, the picture doesn't look anything like the one depicted by the media. The purpose here is not to stigmatize any group of people, but to push back against the stigmatizing narrative. America's hate crime offenders are as diverse as its population. A narrative has been mainstreamed that falsely claims that racism and all bigotry are a matter of power relationships, but violent hate crimes show the power does not have to be defined by net worth, home ownership, or any economic statistics. The origin of power is simple force. But anyway, goes on, it says the perpetrators of identity politics tell us that diversity will make America more tolerant, but the FBI statistics show all that diversity is doing is diversifying the perpetrators of hate crimes. Identity politics no longer even pretends to be making America a more tolerant nation. The only thing that critical race theory has done is to make us a more divided and hateful country. The Democrat approach to fighting racism by becoming more racist and fighting crime by legalizing it hasn't worked. Maybe it's time we tried fighting crime, including hate crimes, with cops, and fighting racism by spending less time hating each other in the nation we all share. So anyway, Bob, there you go. That goes against the media narrative. I mean, you heard that one woman, Michigan councilwoman, who I guess was giving a Lyft or an Uber driver a hard time, so he pulled over and told her to get out of the car, pulled off at a gas station, told her, go call for a ride. I'm not taking you any further. And she said she was afraid to get out of the car because of white supremacy in Detroit. I guess the roving gangs of Klan members and Nazis that are just obviously all over the 85% black Detroit has her paralyzed in fear. So anyway, Bob, KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
All righty, Bill. Those are some great statistics, KO4FE, KHOI. Yeah, Detroit is a predominantly black area. I'm assuming the person in the Uber was also a black person, correct?
I'm not sure. I think it might have been an Arab.
Interesting. Well, thank you for those statistics. It had to take a lot to digest them. I appreciate it. How about KE4KNE? This is KAAJOY. Mr. Michael, it is your turn.
Radio.
Okay, this is Kilo Echo 4,
Kilo November Echo. I'm a QRP in the mountains of southeastern Kentucky. I just got a cell phone call from my nephew, which is out on a ship in Norfolk, Virginia. And he really appreciated the last transmission from Bill. I tell you what, he sends me to watch the sailors and stuff out on his ship. I mean, I just can't really carry that so much. But the one thing that they are really concerned about is the quality of the information. That's one thing that they're all kind of wondering about. And by the way, they have like six channels of different, like, stations and stuff that they can, transmit throughout the ship. And you guys right now are on number one. That's a good thing. Anyway, I want to come back to you. K410E, portable QRP in the mountains of southeastern Kentucky.
Well, thank you. I hope they're still listening, and I want to thank them for their service to this great country, to the men and women on the Navy ship. And I've said it before, having a son that was a 10-year veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, which is a department of the Navy,
and he gave the ultimate sacrifice to this country. But thank you to all those that are serving, and thank you for listening on your QRP radio. It just is so cool how far you get out on that QRP when the conditions are good. Down to KC2, Victor Uniform. Lewis, you are up to the plate, sir. What do you have for us?
It's always nice to hear these guys in the net, and Bobby doing a wonderful job hosting the net. And just to bring up, we're talking about the election, obviously, some of the comments, and I can just only hope and pray that this country has divine providence in guiding us on the righteous path. It's going to be really, really hard. There's a lot of cheering going on with the election, but as Christy Parker knows, I put my faith in Jesus Christ.
Alrighty, sir, thank you. We heard it, the whole transmission. You were doing very well, so the band is holding up. Next on my list is Mr. Larry in the great state of Tennessee, N4ROQ. It is your turn, sir. Good evening again.
Okay, can't hold on to the microphone. It's
wanting to get away from me. There, Bob.
I'm trying to look up that Lynn Air gun barrel manufacturer in Tennessee. I haven't had any luck yet, Mo. No luck yet. But we'll keep looking there. Don't know exactly how to spell it, but maybe it'll, the computer will help me out on that. Okay, let's see, I always try to give Alex Jones, he has some good things on shortwave here, 4.840, Alex Jones at 10 p.m. at night, and 4.840, and also at noon at 12.160 at noon. And on Coast to Coast AM, and it's on the, he's on the internet too. A very good guy that, regarding your health. His name is Doc Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H, D-O-C, last name Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H. And one of the things I've listened to him several times, he's on about once a month on Coast to Coast AM, and he's very interesting, and he's done a lot of autopsies on animals, mainly, but on, in his business, he is an MD also, but he is a veterinarian, and he says that arteries are not clogged by cholesterol, they're clogged by oil, like the cooking oil that you use, so he says, don't use cooking oil, or it will clog up your arteries. And I've been using lard, L-A-R-D, and I believe that that is beneficial, more beneficial than any kind of oil that you can use in your cooking. You might want to Google and see what everyone else says, but I think he recommends it, and he recommends eggs in the morning. Eggs are great for you, and one of the best things that you can eat. And don't forget the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H-T-I-M-E-S. That's a newspaper out of Texas, I believe. I've been looking through that. They've sent me some information. And they have on the internet, so look up Epoch Times. They're a good a place to find a lot of stuff that is true, that is not the fake news like a lot of this other stuff. So if anyone ever has any more information on places to look up on, especially on the you know, on shortwave or on Google, any good outlets there, please, during your transmission, just give those. Well, I try to jot them down and keep them on hand when I have time to look back through and see what they're talking about there. All right, let's see. Here's an article regarding Pompeo. He visits the West Bank settlement over in Israel. Just a few days ago, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made a trip to Israeli settlement on Thursday, visiting a winery established in the West Bank in the area that is in the West Bank area. It marked the first time a top American diplomat has visited an Israeli settlement, communities built. Of course, these Palestinians want that land back, but what had happened, they attacked Israel from this West Bank years ago, and Israel didn't give it back to them because it was high land. And they lost the other nations that attacked Israel at that point, they lost the war, and they lost their land there too. So, okay, let's see what else it's saying regarding that. Oh, Mexico, here's another article on Mexico. Mexico says no more corruption trials in U.S. for its officials. Says Mexico City, Mexico said Thursday, they will no longer allow officials accused of corruption to be tried in the United States. A move that could end a decades-old tradition in which most of Mexico's high-profile drug trafficking and corruption cases have been tried north of the border. However, the extent of the new policy was unclear. Mexico's bombshell statement came one day after the U.S. dropped a high-profile drug trafficking and money laundering case against a former Mexican defense secretary. Some of the Mexican defense secretaries, one of the former, he was involved in drug running. And I've been reading some articles about how they're getting real smart on how to ship the drugs over here. They're putting it deeper down in vehicles. They're making it harder for the drug dogs to find it. You're having to use welders and cutting machines to get down in between in a lot of cases in rail cars and just a lot of places they're putting it hard to get hold of so it'll get through the inspections and the dogs. They've got x-ray machines. They watch trains that go through. I watched it on the different TV shows where they're trying to find the drugs that are coming across the border. They've got it in the railing systems, in the frames of the rail cars. They're getting really smart on where to put this stuff. So they're getting real innovative, I guess you might say. So you may not see it on just a good inspection. You may have to take the seats out of a car and get down in the frame before you can find some of this stuff. But they're really getting innovative on it. Okay, let's see if I can find one more. Here's an article regarding the Boeing 737 MAX. That's the plane that went down a couple of times. Software problems and whatnot. It says Boeing 737 MAX cleared to fly again. The jetliner grounded for 20 months after the two international crashes that killed 346 passengers and crew were cleared to fly again Wednesday by the Federal Aviation Administration. The troubled airliner's return to the skies won't be immediate. Even with the issuance of ungrounded order, the planes will need to be refitted with improvements mandated by the FAA, and pilots will need to be retrained in procedures. American Airlines, one of the largest operators, plans to have the planes flying again December the 29th, starting with a single round trip between New York and Miami. The airline recognized some travelers may be hesitant. In a memo to to employees Wednesday, American said that if a customer prefers to not fly on the aircraft, we provide flexibility to ensure they can be easily re-accommodated. Possibly as a way of curbing public apprehension, Boeing has hinted that Max might even get a new name. But no matter, the additional procedures, the official ungrounding of the Max is the most significant step yet in Boeing's effort to resurrect the aircraft that devastated its reputation and led to congressional investigations. The probes reveal shortcomings and even outright deceit when safety issues arose during the plane's development. The FAA's directive is an important milestone. Dan Deal, CEO of Boeing's Commercial Airplanes Division, said in a statement, "We will continue to work with regulators around the world and our customers to return the airplane back into service worldwide." Some of its questions linger, with critics saying that despite the fixes approved by the FAA, the twin-engine plane's design is inherently flawed and it shouldn't be allowed to fly again. 737 MAX is the latest edition of the stubby jetliner that first flew in the 1960s and went on to become one of the most successful commercial aircraft ever. The MAX was intended to take advantage of a new generation of jet engines that could save more fuel. The problem was that the new engines were larger, which would cause them to hang too low below the wings without a redesign. The engines had to be repositioned on the wings in a way that gave them added clearance above the runway. The new location, however, was found to also change the plane's flight characteristics under certain circumstances. To compensate, Boeing added software to the plane's flight computer that would work in the background so the MAX could feel to the pilots like previous versions of the 737. It was called the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, and it proved to have some serious flaws. In both the crashes, pilots wrestled to keep their aircraft aloft as MCAS repeatedly pushed the nose down. They were unable to disengage the system, which eventually sent them into dives from which they could not recover. In March 2019, the 387 MAX jets, already delivered around the world, were grounded. So they got 387 of them out there. It was a blow to airlines that incorporated them into their schedules, which were booming at the time. Now, I don't know about that redesign, moving the engines around and making them bigger and all that. I see them here on the runway in a picture, and the engines are right in close to the plane itself on the wings. So they're not very far away from the wings if you want to look one of those up. All right, Bob, back to you. Hayden Harrett, KAA JLY from N4OQ.
Thank you, Larry. Interesting subject about those 743 MAXs. They've been down for a long time, so some of them, or most of them, are going to have preventative maintenance and their annual inspections because they've been off the air for so long. So, thank you, sir. I'm going to wander over. Let me make my calls. N4ROQ and KHOI. I'm going to run down to Frank. Whiskey 2, Golf India Oscar, KAA JOY.
W2GIO returning. I have nothing more at this point. I'm just sitting here listening and reading my email here. So, continue on. Thank you all for all the news. And I'm just listening here and telling this over. W2GIO.
No problem. It's good to have you just listening and riding along with us. Well, we got a call on you. We got to make sure you're awake. So that's one of the things you have to tolerate. Over to Mr. Richie, KB2DMD, KAHJOY. What do you have for us, Richie, on round number two?
He had to run out to the shop for a minute. He said he'd catch you the next time around.
Well, that must be Mrs. Ritchie.
KB3OGL, yeah, that's me.
And I'm assuming you are Heidi.
Yes, I am. Hi, Bob.
Hi there. It's good to hear your voice. Well, thank you for coming back. I'll put an X by his name, and I'll catch him on the 73 round.
Thank you.
Roger, roger. Down at the bottom of the list, Whiskey Whiskey 3, Hotel. I have to think, Alpha, Mike, this is KHLY.
This is Whiskey Whiskey 3, Hotel Alpha Mike. That's all I had earlier for this evening. I'm just going to listen the rest of the night. Back to you, KA8JOY.
Alrighty, WW3HAM KHLY. I'm going to do a little change of an article here. This is from Truckers News. I have a CDL, so I have driven in the past, and it's kind of interesting some of the things they have put on here. So this one is to be on the alert for cargo theft during Thanksgiving. It is amazing how many trailers are stolen. Drivers will unhook at local fuel stops, and I have one in my town, and all of a sudden the trailer will come up missing. But people like FedEx and UPS, their trailers even have GPSs in them. So I've had an occurrence where I've had an incident with the FedEx trailer. I told them the trailer number, and they told me where it was going down the Ohio Turnpike, and I had the State Patrol stop it. So the technology is pretty cool. But in this article, it says cargo theft recording firm CargoNet is warning the trucking industry of expected increased theft activity during the Thanksgiving holiday period in the United States this week. The firm reviewed trucking theft data from the Tuesday before Thanksgiving through the Monday after Thanksgiving in the years 2015 to 2019 and found 123 recorded thefts in these days, with 144 trucks, trailers, chassis, and containers being stolen. Theft events were highest in the state of California, next Texas, and next Georgia, but thefts were recorded in 24 of the 50 states. Theft activity peaked on the day before Thanksgiving with 23 events, but activity was also high on the Friday and Saturday after the holiday with 21 events each. So this map is showing the best states, California being one, Texas being two, Georgia being number three, and the average loss in value just during the holiday is $114,571. That's not the truck and trailer, that's just the products taken. So, kind of interesting, as I said, and we see it here, they unhook it and disappear. You know what, I stand corrected. It's the average loss per theft is $114,571. The total loss in that time period is $6,186,857. So, and again, drivers go to a terminal or to a fuel stop, drop their trailer, drive their vehicle home as a bobtail, and then someone grabs the trailer. So, with that being said, I'm going to jump up to the top of the list. Mr. Jesse, it's the 73 round. KG4ZX in the C. What are your closing comments? Over.
Okay, roger, roger, Bob. And once again, this is the Saturday Night Liberty Net, the real Liberty Net. And thank you, Bob. Good to hear everybody. The band's been holding up tremendously, so great deal. I'm very pleased with that. Hey, let me turn this other radio down a little bit. It's getting in my ear here. All right, well, off of trending politics, I got this last article I wanted to read. I thought it would be quite impelling to a lot of people out there, and hopefully you guys will appreciate this one. On Friday, far-left Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar got absolutely roasted by Republican Georgia Representative-elect Marjorie Taylor Greene, after Omar started going back and forth with Republicans, Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler, the Twitter spat started with Loeffler tweeting, "It's no wonder the squad fully supports Reverend Warnock. He totally supports the dangerous and extreme agenda." And Omar of Minnesota completely agrees with his disgraceful comment about our active service members, veterans, and their families. The Daily Caller reported that Loeffler was referring to comment that Warnock made in 2011 during a sermon during which he reported said there is a conflict of interest between serving God and the military, and that one can't do both, according to the Washington Free Beacon. Omar defended Warnock in his tweet Wednesday, saying he was quoting the Bible. On Friday, Omar replied to Loeffler's tweet, arguing that she is a fearmonger, a blatant lie from the destructionist insider trading of QAnon conspiracy supporters that fear monger anyway. Appointed Kelly pro tip: to win an election, you run on ideas, debate an actual opponent, and defend your record. Not run against the squad, asked Trump. He's screwing around. I took out the F word, of course, and found out. Loeffler shot back, Ilmar. We saw the video. You were smiling, laughing, while talking about Al-Qaeda, 9/11. We know that you're funneling millions of dollars to your new husband, consulting firm, and we know that you're an unabolished anti-Semite. You should be expelled from Congress, she said. Omar then followed up with a weak response. Sorry, Kelly, if you needed help writing real crap back. I am here to help. This ain't it. Try harder. Green then jumped out and nowhere to completely dunk on Omar. You married your brother, so you're disqualified from running your mouth, Green unloaded. Omar then oddly replied by saying, I know things might be different in your where you come from. Green then finished off the tweet, bowing with her epic tweet. Don't even get me started on where you come from. You don't marry our brothers here in America, so I'm not sure who you're calling crazy. So with that being said, we know all these people from other countries don't respect ours, so they need to get out. And that's my final comment for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. And thank you, Bob, and everyone else that's chimed in tonight. It has been a pleasure. With that being said, this is KG4ZX Tennessee, out of the great state of Pennsylvania, back to the Saturday Night Liberty Net and KHJONY.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate you being with us tonight. I'm going to jump over to Mr. Mo just to say hi for the third time. KD0RSA, do you have any comments? KAHJOY.
KAHJOY, KD0RSA. No, I'm just sitting here all ears. I do appreciate it. So I'll just turn the net back to you, Bob, and carry on. Over.
Roger, roger. You've got a good signal into Akron, Mr. Mo. You're showing just shy of 20 over 9. I'm truly impressed. KD0RSA, God bless you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KAHJOY, what do you have to sum up the night? Over.
Okay. KAA J-O-Y, LibertyNet, K-O-4-F-E. Okay, well, the band's getting better, Bob. You're hitting, smacking the meter at about 45 over S9, so it looks like it's getting better. Usually it goes the other way. But anyway, you can never get enough articles to keep up with these leftist communists. Here's another one. Pitt Med students add vow against systematic racism to Hippocratic Oath. Now, keep in mind that the Hippocratic Oath goes back to 400 B.C. when it was written by ancient Greek doctor Hippocrates. And it's been used by doctors for, 2,400 years. Well, that's not good enough for the Pitt Med students, the leftists. Listen to this. It said students at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine started a tradition of writing a class oath to be recited alongside the traditional Hippocratic Oath. In the days before its August 16th white coat ceremony, the class of 2024 presented its new oath to Pitt Medicine administrators. The oath included references to George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, as well as the COVID-19 pandemic, systematic racism, and LGBTQ+ identity. Specifically, the oath says that students will be allies to those, quote, of low economic status, the BIPOC community, the LGBTQIA+ community, women, spelled with a WOMXN, differently abled individuals and other underserved groups in order to dismantle the systematic racism and prejudice that the medical professionals and society have perpetrated. There you go. So that's the new doctors you got going on now. Probably eventually they'll be mandating that every white person that shows up will get a euthanasia shot. I don't know what's next. Anyway, here's an interesting report. Gateway Pundit. Anti-Trump Dominion voting system security chief was participating in Antifa calls, posted an Antifa manifesto letter to Trump online. In 2010, Eric Coomer joined Dominion as vice president of U.S. engineering, according to his bio. Coomer graduated from the University of California at Berkeley, naturally, with a PhD in nuclear physics. Coomer was later promoted to voting systems officer of strategy and security, although Coomer has since been removed from the Dominion page of directors. In a stunning interview conducted by Michelle Malkin, Joe Altman, FEC, United founder, reveals how he infiltrated Antifa and how during a conversation with Antifa members, he discovered Eric from Dominion was allegedly part of the chat during the week of September 27th, 2020. Altman explained that Eric was telling Antifa members that they needed to keep up the pressure. When one of the callers asked, "Who's Eric?" someone answered, "Eric, he's the Dominion guy." Altman said that as the conversation continued, someone asked, "What are we going to do if effing Trump wins?" Altman paraphrased how Eric, the Dominion guy, responded. He said, "Don't worry about the election. Trump's not going to win. I made effing sure of that." Wonder what he meant by that. After Altman, who runs a data company, finished a call, he started to investigate Eric from Dominion in Denver, Colorado, and came upon Eric Coomer. Altman admitted that it didn't make sense that Eric Coomer would be the Antifa member on the call, and that at the time he knew nothing about Dominion voting systems. It wasn't until after he started hearing about Dominion voting systems in the news following the election that he remembered the remarks made by Eric from Dominion on the Antifa chat. Altman began digging into Eric Coomer, trying to find anything he could about him. Altman's family hit Altman finally hit gold when he was able to legally access what he claims is Dominion VP Eric Coomer's Facebook page. What he found was stunning. Joe Altman said he never saw such hate and vitriol coming from someone who was a PhD in nuclear physics. Altman explained to Malkin that Coomer actually reposted the Antifa manifesto to President Trump on his Facebook page. The Gateway Pundit pasted a copy of that Antifa letter to Trump in a previous report. Joe Altman was removed from Twitter this week. His tweets on Eric Coomer upset big tech. Altman reveals that by revealing this information about Coomer, he's putting himself in danger. He may have a PhD in nuclear physics, but when it comes to hiding his hatred for President Trump, Trump supporters, law enforcement, and even for Texans, Dominion's Eric Coomer isn't very smart. So anyway, you got an Antifa member in charge of security at Dominion, and that's the company that's running all the voting machines. I mean, you just take one look at this guy and his dead eyes, you know he's a communist fanatic. Second, he's taking care of it. Trump's not going to win because he took care of it. He's making sure that Trump's not going to win.
The FBI needs to look at this guy. I'm telling you, I'm an expert in the security of any voting company to be a giant red flag.
Yeah, 60 dB. So you're hitting about 45, so that's pretty damn high for this radio.
That's great conditions. Alrighty, sir, thank you. KO4FE, KAHJOY. Over to the QRP radio. I'm kind of looking forward to see what kind of signal you're going to give me. KE4KNEKHLY, over.
Okay, Bob, I'm really interested in a lot of things that Bill said there on the net. In fact, my enthusiastic called me again. He said, you know, one thing that I'm really kind of interested in about it, he's come up with some of the best articles, but can he give us when he's finding these articles so some of the people can look this up, because a lot of people were telling
Well, I want you to know, KE4KN.
With us, riding along and commenting, just to know you're here is all we really require between the current events and the rag killing. But you're giving me, on your QRP radio, you're bouncing between a 20 and a 25 over 9 in Akron, over.
Okay, Bob, let's
forgetting. Good job. Thank you, sir. Alrighty, over to KC2VVU. This is KHLY. What do you have to sum up tonight, sir?
Well, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. It's just going to be a wonderful time, even though we're under all these COVID restrictions.
Thank you for joining us, KC2VVU. Happy Thanksgiving also to you. Just like the COVID time, my state of Ohio is getting seven people to six persons, and the city of Akron, fortunately I don't live there, I live outside of it, they want the neighbors to call the police and complain if the neighbor has greater than six people. We still have a
Keep the Senate, guys. and the Democrats are spending all kinds of money trying to win those two seats there in Georgia, those two Senate seats. There was determined control of the chamber during the first 2 years of President-elect Joe Biden's tenure. I am concerned that there is at least the potential that political concerns, especially with Georgia runoff, are going to play a bigger role than top House Armed Services Committee Republican Mac Thornberry of Texas. I have no doubt that we can reach an agreement. The question is whether the politics above us will allow us to. Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman James Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, strongly backing Trump. Aides involved in the talks say the Democrats who won the GOP support in both the House and Senate to force the renaming of the bases, now they will not back down. Typically, when both House and Senate versions of the legislation contain comparable provisions, the default position is to leave the language in the final product. The differences between the House and Senate provisions are relatively modest. It's Senate language that we want to agree to, said House Armed Services Committee Chairman Adam Smith, Democrat of Washington. So there shouldn't be controversy here. He called Trump a little bit erratic at the moment. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, said the name is mostly changed. You're hearing a Democrat now. Nancy Pelosi advocating that the base names be changed. It is imperative that the conference report include provisions of security as essential priorities, said Pelosi. Our nation should reflect our highest ideals as Americans. The bill has to pass next month to avoid breaking a 59-year streak of enacting the annual measure which sets policy across the Pentagon and would award the military a 3% pay raise starting January the 1st, among its other provisions. Look, the defense bill is really important, Smith said, expressing hope that Republicans would relate. House White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has even floated the idea of a trade-off in which Trump would sign the legislation containing the Democratic language in exchange for repealing so-called Section 230, a legal shield for social media outlets like Facebook that protects websites from liability for content posted on their sites. The New York Times first reported Meadows' attempt at deal-making, which was confirmed by Democratic aide and request anonymity because the negotiations are occurring behind closed doors. So hopefully they don't rename these bases. I'm really happy with our statues and everything. Keep them up. We don't need all this changing around to appease these local Democrats and their socialists and ideas. So anyway, I've got an article here from Coast to Coast AM I'd like to read. Bob, let's see if my computer will work with me here. This is Coast to Coast AM last night. There was some debris found in the Navajo Nation that came down. It looks like something that landed in the desert. Maybe a some type of a craft of some kind. I don't think it was an alien craft. It looks like it's got solar cells on it. Maybe a satellite or something that went down in that area. Let's see if I can get back here. Here, I got back soon. Then they talked about, they had a gentleman there named George Fowler III, F-I-L-E-R. He's a retired Air Force Major. And they were asking him about military instances regarding alien craft and what he knew about the aliens. And this is what the Coast to Coast has on their website. It says, retired Air Force Major George Fowler III, a decorated former intelligence officer, joined Connie Willis, who's the lady on the broadcaster on Friday, to declare that an alien was shot and killed in the Pine Barrens, that's B-A-R-R-E-N-S, in New Jersey by a military police officer in the late 1970s. Fowler first described an encounter he had over in England in 1950s while flying, he was flying in a refueling tanker. The crew was asked to intercept the UFO and observed a long cigar or cylinder shape with dozens of lights on it. Fowler stated that the armed forces knew not to shoot at UFOs because if we shoot at them, they respond, and the outcome was usually fatal for the pilots and the crew. He said the public would be amazed at how many were lost in hostile encounters with UFOs. A few days after the incident, Fowler and his crew met with Prince Philip, this is in England, a brother of Queen Elizabeth, who asked him to describe the encounter. He recalled that the object had a radar return that indicated it was over a mile. This was a mile in width. This was a UFO in the 1970s. And now this is a, this guy is a military official that's telling all that. Okay, well, let's see if I can get back. It's RF is bouncing it around a little, so let's get back to another paragraph.
Another paragraph. Fowler described the amazing January 18, 1978 incident at McGuire Air Force Base, where an apparent alien being was shot and killed. As the ranking intelligence officer at the base, he was tasked with compiling a report and briefing on the incident. Through interviews with security and other base personnel, he pieced together the account that the being was shot by an Army security officer at Fort Dix, that's D-I-X, which bordered McGuire, and ran to the end of the runway at the air, this alien ran to the end of the runway at the Air Force Base where he died after being shot. Control or power personnel recalled that they observed the UFOs land at the end of the runway and stated that little men were running around apparently looking for their dead comrades. The Air Force found the body but were quickly told to step aside by the men in black uniforms from Washington, D.C. Fowler was told that the remains were flown to Wright Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. Author of the book and about the incident, Jim Guerrera, that's G-U-E-R-R-A, described the events as well. Interestingly, Fowler stated that in his experience, the higher up the chain of command you go, the more they know for sure that the UFOs exist. So that's a good article there. It had some good, had a good guest there, George Fowler, on the Coast to Coast AM last night. It was an alien military case. So I thought I'd mention that. So back to you up there, Bob. From Larry in Tennessee, N4ROQ, back to Ned.
Thank you, Larry, N4ROQ, K2I. You always bring some really thought-provoking stuff. It's interesting. These people can't be making this up. It's just as interesting. I really appreciate your information, sir. So, great signal here in Akron. You're doing really good. The band is really cooperating, so thank you, Larry. Let me run over to Frank. Whiskey 2, Golf, India, Oscar, K-A-H-A-O-Y.
The WGIO returning. Well, I'm just sitting here again, taking it all in, and doing some reading as I'm sitting here, and it's always good to keep the mind percolating. And hey, at the end there is good news, and that is God loves us all and wants to bless us. So back to you, Bob. W2GIO 73 all. W2GIO clear.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate you signing with that each time we get together. We have to have something to believe in. I'm not trying to get on my soapbox, but having lost a child in the military, had it not been some with faith, it would have been a very difficult event. So thank you. Well, let's see.
see if Mr. Richie is here. We had the pleasure of Heidi, but now we'll see if Richie's back with us. KB2, DMD, K-A-H-A-O-Y.
I am back, Bob. K-A-H-A-O-Y and the Liberty Net. This is KB2DMD. Yeah, Heidi told me when I came in. I thought I'd be able to dash out and dash in and not miss too much, but apparently I missed my turn. So, yeah, wonderful. Great comments. And I noted with interest what Bill was talking about with this, you know, all this Dominion software business. Boy, talk about a smoking gun, Bob. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, Bill mentioned that the FBI should be looking into this. And in a perfect world, they should be. But I don't know who in government to trust anymore, Bob. You know, ever since Comey... Ever since the revelation of that, what is it, the sixth floor at FBI, whatever it is, the top floor, where they're all deep staters, and they're all people like Comey, and they're all working actively to overthrow a duly elected president, you know, this is out of hand. It really casts doubts, not only on the FBI, but the entire Justice Department. You know, Barr's no prize. He was at Ruby Ridge. You know, here's the problem, as I see it, Bob. It's who the president selects for key positions and who's got his ear. And I think in many cases the wrong people have the president's ear. And, you know, certainly if draining the swamp is your stated goal, you know, this just doesn't add up. And I think during the, you know, I don't know what President Trump is actually capable of. You know, obviously, you know, there's limits on what a president can do. You know, there's the constitutional ones, which no president seems to abide by anymore, which is, you know, sinful, because that's anarchy, that's lawlessness. But, you know, there's the unstated ones. You know, there's these limits that the American people aren't aware of, where, you know, under the Constitution, the president would have authority, but because of some unwritten rule or, you know, some deep state BS, you know, he's not able to take action. But, you know, Trump is savvy enough, just from all the years he spent in business, to navigate around a lot of this stuff. I think where the problem is, he's trusting the wrong people for advice on a lot of things, Bob. And you know, and there are many in the Patriot community that have either volunteered their service directly or that he could reach out to. Tonto Ferranto on the Alex Jones program flatly told President Trump, sir, I'm here. You tell me what you want, and I'll get a crew together, and I'll take care of business, you know? Now, I'm not saying he should, you know, get, you know, hit squads together or anything extra legal like that. Obviously not. But, you know, instead of, you know, appointing the head of the Fraternal Order of Police to a post to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, for instance, which was just a wrong move. You know, he's made many moves like that. And I don't know why. You know, he could reach out to, you know, constitutional lawyers like Edwin Vieira. Bob, the list just goes on and on. Just on a personal level, and say, look, you know, I'm considering, replacing this guy or replacing that woman. You know, who would you recommend? You know, and just, you know, get the ear of the people on this thing instead of just the, you know, the standard boilerplate picks that the deep state foists upon him. I think that's where the problem is. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, in his second term, you know, if he's going to have any success, and really, you know, being a lame duck in his second term, you would think he'd pull out the stops and just stop listening to the deep state, you know, when the Federalist Foundation recommended this Amy Comey Barrett instead of that wonderful Cuban girl for a Supreme Court nomination. You know, just he's making wrong choices that are really going to outlast his presidency by far. So, you know, this is what needs to happen, and I'm just waiting for him to start making some good picks as far as personnel changes are concerned. And it doesn't seem to me like it would be, not only wouldn't it be impossible, I think it would be pretty simple to do. He would just have to go outside the regular channels a little bit, and he wouldn't have to do that publicly. You know, certainly it would upset a lot of people when he, like, all of a sudden announces, you know, this pick for a position that none of the deep state wanted. That's a total enemy of the deep state, but a total friend of the Constitution. You know, it's going to upset some people, but, you know, in your second term, who cares? So, you know, this is what I'm hoping to see. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. So, let's see. And above all, we just got to pray on it, Bob. And that's all I've got. Thanks for running the net. It's been fun. KAHJOY and Liberty Net. This is KB2DMD.
Thank you, Richie. It's been a pleasure to have you with us, KB2DMD. And thank you for Heidi to jump in there and tell us that you were running out to the barn. So my last on my list is Whiskey 3, Hotel Alpha Mike, KAHJOY.
KAHJOY, this is Whiskey 3, Hotel Alpha Mike. I've got a lot of chicken scraps all over these papers, so let's see if we can make some sense of it. First of all, I'd love to sit down and talk to, I believe his name is Larry, and discuss aliens and UFOs. Somebody just said, what is Trump capable of? Maybe, instead of me just sitting back and listening every week and not saying anything, maybe I can say something next week about what it means to have 56 emergency declarations and what kind of power the Constitution gives the President of the United States with that. You wouldn't believe. Just because we don't know about everything that's happening doesn't mean nothing's happening. I personally feel Bill Barr is doing his job. Ever since he ended the Mueller witch hunt, I believe the gloves were put on the other hand. After Trump wins this election, the gloves are coming off. And don't be frustrated when you hear, there's no proof, there's no proof. Just because Trump, and I said this before, hasn't shown his hand yet, when the Trump card's played, the entire world's going to hear it. And no matter what you might have been told over the last 4 or 5 years, have you ever known Donald J. Trump to lose? That's all I've got tonight. Back to KA8JOY. Thank you for listening.
Good closing. Thank you very much. Whiskey 3, Hotel Alpha Mike. Well, that concludes tonight, but before we go, I want to say this poem, especially to Mike's nephew, I think it's his nephew, and to the gentlemen that are out on that ship, ladies and gentlemen, they're out on that ship to sea. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who gave us the freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who gave us our freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who have given us the freedom to assembly. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. So, guys out there, I hope you're still listening. Thank you for your service. God bless you. So as I close this window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy, sailors and soldiers that are listening. And 73s to tonight's Liberty Netters, including Mr. Victor, W1WCR, Mr. Marty, N2IRJ,
Miss Laura, N2JTTF, as they are absent. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country known as America. God bless our president, and here's hoping. This is KAHAOI.
Contact,
go ahead.
Whiskey Alpha 4, Charlie Delta Mike. Hello, Bob. You guys were wanting to know something about a gun barrel manufacturer in Tennessee?
Mr. Mo was trying to have Larry look up a city in Tennessee that makes gun barrels.
Okay, there are two that are listed in Lenore City and Loudoun County. One of them is Storm Lake Barrels, and the other one is F.J. Feddersen. That's Juliet Feddersen, and he's in Loudoun, Tennessee.
Roger, did you copy that, Mr. Moe?
No, I could not hear it. I heard you talking, but I couldn't understand it.
Okay, I'll have him say it again and I'll write it down. So, William, could you say it again?
Roger, it's Storm Lake Barrels. They're at 5900 Highway 321, Lenore City. And then there is F.J. Feddersen. And he is... F.J. Feddersen is in Loudoun. And there he's at 7501 Corporate Park Drive, Loudoun, Tennessee. Over.
All righty. Let me try to repeat that back. So there's Mr. Moe, there's one in Lenore City on Highway 32. And then there's another one in Loudoun, Tennessee. But I think your question was to Larry as if he knew where those cities were, correct?
Well, if you just mail them to me, I'd sure appreciate it. And then I'll look up where Larry's at. Over.
All righty. So, William, is there any chance that you can go to QRZ and email me that information?
Sure thing. I can't do it tonight, but I'll do it in the morning, tomorrow.
Not a problem. If you would do that, and then I will snail mail that to Mr. Moe.
Okay, sounds great. You're KAHJOY on QRZ.
Roger, roger. Kilo Alpha 8, Julie Ocean Yankee.
Okay, Bob, will do.
All righty, thank you for jumping in.
Thank you, Bill.
I will just let everyone know there's 10 total check-ins. That was a good night, so appreciate your participation. I'm going to go back out in the garage and work on my project, putting my dual bander in a Colorado pickup. So, KAHJOY, good night, good night.
Everybody keep your powder dry.
Thanks again there, Bobby. Did a good job. Good to hear you in there, Mr. Bill, from Tennessee there in Knoxville, Florida. Okay.